This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report, verdict sparks violence. National Guard.
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's one from New Zealand. Well, we know that cats like catnip, but a cat in Ashmore, New Zealand, returned home from a jaunt Sunday with a quarter-pound bag of marijuana in its mouth. The cat's owner promptly called police to report the drug-trafficking feline. She said her cat had brought home a big bag of drugs. They say it was valued at the equivalent of hundreds of U.S. dollars. Obviously, it seems the cat is very disappointed to find that his owner is a narc, but I have a feeling that this cat will go for a lot of money if he ever ends up in the pet store. We have a lot of strange things to discuss tonight, my friends. I'm glad you have chosen to join us this evening. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations, and my producer and engineer tonight is the ever alliterative Sam Steele. How you doing tonight, Sam Steele?
Hello, Joshua P. Warren. How are you doing in Puerto Rico?
That's right. I am right here in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, broadcasting remotely once again. You, on the other hand, are there manning the flagship in Asheville, North Carolina tonight. Now, you know, Sam, we've been friends for a long time. You have been on Speaking of Strange as a guest. This, however, is your first time at the helm of this beast.
It's a beast. It's daunting.
It's a little different. We do things in an oddball way, but it brings us one step closer to that old radio creativity you don't get so much nowadays in broadcast.
Oh, huh? So true.
So now let me ask you this, Sam Steele. Are you by chance any relation to George the Animal Steele?
One could only wish. Well, I am not nearly as hirsute. However, I am kinfolk to Dr. David Steele, who I believe was one of your professors in college, like when you were 12 or 13 or whatever.
Right, a little Doogie Howser. Yeah. That is absolutely true. It's funny because when I met you for the first time and I learned that, my immediate reaction, and it's absolutely genuine, is he was the absolute best math instructor I've ever had in my life. I've always been more inclined to enjoy, storytelling, English, grammar, the languages, the language arts, even though I'm really big into science. Math has always been a weak spot. So when I got into college at UNCA, I wanted to just kind of get all my math stuff out of the way up front. So I took math early on, and he was just such a fantastic professor. One of the things I loved about his teaching style was that he based a lot of these concepts in math on the book Alice in Wonderland.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, did your dad ever actually teach you math? I mean, I know that sometimes when you're the kid, you don't get the same perspective.
I failed geometry. Yeah, I was not very math inclined. No, I was more of a reader. You know how the different sides of the brain, they just work in different ways. He's more of a builder. That's how he sees the world, is through numbers. And I'm more of a artistic-y reader kind of guy, reader-writer. And so, no, I did not excel in the math, but he is a very good teacher, and he had nothing but good things to say. I remember, and I just read, by the way, I read Haunted Asheville over the holidays, found it in his study when we were killing time around the tree and all that. Reread Haunted Asheville.
Excellent. You know, it's hard to believe that was the very first story of Asheville, or excuse me, the first book of Asheville ghost stories ever written. And, you know, now you have all these different ghost tours and other books about legends. But back then, I mean, I had to just go out there and interview people and hang out at the courthouse digging through records and, you know, try to scrape these stories up. And now they're quite well known all over town.
You were young when you wrote that, too, weren't you?
I was about 18 years old when I wrote Haunted Asheville, and that was my third book, I think. So I got started really young in the writing field. And so Sam, how long have you lived in the Asheville area?
Oh, going on 25 years.
All right, that's good. So you're a good – we consider you a native Ashevillian after 25 years.
I think the statute of limitations on my Floridianness runs out.
Oh, you're from Florida?
Originally, yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, where's the bell, Shelly? speaking of and maybe we'll bring up some stories you can relate to deep in your childhood then, Sam. And you know, we have the Florida Bell for a reason. Tonight it's being manned by another native Asheville investigator, Shelly Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How are you this evening, Shelly?
I'm great. How are you? It's nice to talk to you and be back in the studio and see a friendly face and not just, you know, break up fights in the background with my cats while we're Skyping.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been struggling with all these different technical scenarios since I am here in Puerto Rico. And then, of course, the last time we did a show, we tried to do it with, you know, Forrest on the coast of North Carolina and then you there in Asheville. And we had some technical issues and problems. So if some of you have gone to listen to the podcast and you see there's a segment missing, it may be that that segment is gone. Belongs to the ages now, as they say. Sometimes that happens, but you know, at least I didn't like lose an interview with Abraham Lincoln or something. Well, here's what we're going to dig into tonight. Okay, we have got a ton of strange stories, especially during the dark 30 hour. And of course, anytime we skip a week, we have a nice little buildup of stories. But hour number two, when we like to discuss a certain theme. Well, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, mind machines. Now, we're talking about controversial technology here, equipment that is supposed to connect your mind and your willpower to the ether. These are things like, well, starting with magic and voodoo, that would be probably the earliest form, moving on to radionics, and then psychotronics, like the Russians were using during the Cold War, trying to assassinate people. Then we're going to move into psionics, which is a whole new level of psychic warfare. And we're going to maybe dig into orgone technology and how that connects with the human consciousness and weather manipulation. And then hopefully we'll have time to discuss a little bit about what they call the law of attraction. So that'll be our big theme hour number two. Before we dig into the last hour of tonight's program, the Dark 30 Hour. And now, Sam, given that we have been working out and ironing out various technical issues with this remote setup. I want to definitely give a shout out to a good friend of ours, Christopher of Christopher's Computers, there on Merriman Avenue in Asheville.
Good people.
Those guys, they have hooked us up with the right technology to bring this show to you tonight. And we could not be broadcasting right now without their help. And, you know, I've known Christopher for years, and I can tell you right now, if you're listening to this show and you have some type of a computer problem or you want to buy a new computer, doesn't matter, Christopher, he is the man to go see. And his whole staff there. How you've known one of his staff members for how long,
yeah,
Sam?
Yeah, that's the other tie-in, is that the main guy who would fix and or build your computer, if you had a problem, he would take care of it. My first friend when I moved to Asheville almost 25 years ago. And he's the guy who actually built this machine that's sitting next to me right now.
Wow.
Ivan. Ivan, give it up for Ivan. Good people.
That is... synchronistic. It was meant to be. So, you know, and of course, a lot of people are intimidated by computers, and they feel like when they go into some computer shop, if they get a repair or they're going to get an update or an upgrade or buy something new, they're going to get ripped off. You know, they're afraid that they're walking into some kind of a trap here that they're going to get sucked into. It's not like that when you go into Christopher's Computers. Trust me, you go in there and you tell him that you're a listener of Speaking of Strange, and that Joshua P. Warren sent you, and that Sam Still sent you, and you'll get the very best experience. So I want to give you
super
that
nice
information.
Guy. Super nice guy.
Go to christopherscomputers.com. We'll have a link up for you at speakingofstrange.com, or write down this phone number, 828-670-9800. And they are located there again in Asheville, North Carolina. But he probably can do some stuff remotely as well. 828-670-9800, Christopher's Computers. Thanks, guys, for helping us out with our technology tonight. So when it comes to this idea that I sort of alluded to, related to mind machines, it makes us wonder just the age of the mind. How far into the past does your identity go? Well, we're going to be coming up on a break here soon, but when we come back, I want to share with you a story that immediately got my attention when it came out. It's about a 3-year-old boy who apparently has remembered a past life. And, you know, there's always been some intrigue around people like Mozart, for example, who just seemed to come out of the womb knowing how to play the piano and compose concertos and whatnot. And it seems once in a while some kid is born who remembers some skill or some event from a past life. Well, apparently the case of this 3-year-old has been confirmed. The 3-year-old was murdered in his past life. And when we come back, I'm going to explain to you what happened to him as we kick off more strange stories this evening. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.
If it don't move us, ain't paid your dues and it ain't gon' get our groovers on, we'll lose your to the console, my solution, come on. It's a wonderful night, gotta take it from me. It's a wonderful night, come on, bring it. It's a wonderful night, gotta shake it from me. It's a wonderful night, come on, bring it. Girl, I want
yeah, from the heart like of the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico. Hitchhiking the E.T. Highway, I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. That's right, Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402, Miss Shelley Wright's family business, and we all know that's the place where your money becomes more money. Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. And you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop at speakingofstrange.com. So we have in the studio tonight producer Sam Still. We have investigator Shelley Wright. And when we dig into the mysteries of the mind, the subject of reincarnation and past lives is an intriguing one. Some people believe that it explains a lot of your tastes, a lot of your proclivities, maybe even some of your fears. For example, if you're afraid of water, maybe that's because you drowned in a past life. Well, here's an intriguing story about a three-year-old boy. He is from the Golan Heights region, which is near the border of Syria and Israel. And he started telling his parents and other people very confidently that he had been murdered with an axe in his previous life. He then showed the village elders where the murderer buried his body. And sure enough, they found a man's skeleton there. He also showed the elders where the murder weapon was found. And upon digging, guess what? They found an axe there. There is a noted German therapist named Trutz Hardo who has written a book called Children Who Have Lived Before, Reincarnation Today. And he tells this boy's story along with some other stories. This particular kid's story was witnessed by Dr. Eli Lash, who is well known for developing the medical system in Gaza. He recounted the astonishing details. They say that this little boy now, he was born with a long red birthmark on his head. And the people in his region there actually believe, as some other cultures do, that birthmarks are related to past life deaths. So when this boy was old enough to talk, that's when he started telling the family he'd been killed by a blow to the head with an axe. And they actually say that this is not extremely uncommon in that area, that it's kind of customary for elders to take a child at the age of three to the home of his previous life if he remembers it. And, of course, this was a kid who had a very vivid memory. Maybe some of you have seen the Martin Scorsese film, one of my favorites, called Kundun, which is about the life of the current Dalai Lama. And in this movie, they start by portraying the events which transpire when the Tibetans are trying to find the new Dalai Lama. They believe that the Dalai Lama is going to be reincarnated, and they basically go into a house, a sort of small peasant house in the village, and if they find a kid who's a good candidate, they will spread a variety of items around the floor that were belongings of the previous Dalai Lama. And if the kid is able to go up and recognize and identify these belongings, well, then they consider that enough evidence, enough proof that he, in fact, was the previous Dalai Lama. Shelley Wright, do you have any birthmarks?
I do.
Oh, really?
I do. I have a small birthmark on my the side of my, well, near my knee, the side of my knee on my right leg.
So how do you feel about this concept that could be a wound from a previous life?
I have heard that before. I have, and it's a very intriguing idea. I've also heard that if you have a birthmark and then you figure out what that birthmark was about, that it will disappear.
Really?
Yeah, I guess when you get things all worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Sam Steele, do you have a birthmark in any place that you can talk about on the radio?
I do. As a matter of fact, on my arm, some people like they'll say they're like, "Hey, you might want to go have that checked out. I think it could be a mole or something." I was like, "No, it's been there since birth, and hence birthmark." But when I was a kid, I was very self-conscious about it because you know kids just find stuff to pick on. It's a little Shelley Wright can see this in the studio. It's a little.
I see that.
Yeah, it's a little little dot on my arm, my right forearm. But
you know, I don't really think I have a birthmark. I mean, not to my knowledge. I mean, it seems like maybe I have some little thing on one of my shoulders or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, you can imagine though that well, if you're going to get an injury, a knee or an arm, that's a pretty obvious logical place for an injury to persist. But hey, makes you wonder, and when we talk about these mysteries of the mind in hour number two, you know, just keep that story in the back of your mind. Let's move on here to how about a good old American McDonald's story? Nothing has more of an Americana flavor than a McDonald's story. We love those here. They say a pregnant woman in Ottumwa, Iowa, is not loving her McMarijuana burger. I'm beginning to see a trend already emerging in tonight's stories. A pregnant woman and her boyfriend claim they found an extra ingredient in their McDonald's burgers. It was coated with marijuana instead of a tomato. The woman's meal was served when she went there with her fiancé and her two-year-old son. They noticed that it didn't taste like a typical Mickey D's product and was slightly spicy. Whatever that means, says here the 23-year-old said, quote, "It tasted bad, and I thought maybe it was because he had cologne on his hands when he bit it, and then I opened the burger, and the cheese was just covered with weed, and once I opened those burgers, well, you couldn't even smell McDonald's anymore. You could only smell the skunky pot that was on it," end quote. They then immediately reported the alleged McDoobies to the police department. And you know what's funny is I've started off the show tonight, Sam, by talking about a cat that drags a free bag of pot home and then people who go to McDonald's and get a pot burger.
Free pot on their burger.
And yet these people are complaining.
Exactly.
I mean,
the economy.
People in, yeah, there are folks in Asheville who would say there is a God. You know?
They would.
I used to be an atheist, but now I believe.
Can we just explore for a sec the fact that she's talking about? So this, I'm imagining, is a dried herbal substance that she found on the burger.
I suppose.
So it's like it's a plant matter that has. You know, but how would that even affect? Would they even feel anything other than a bad taste of dried flowers in their burger? Because aren't nanoboids released with heat? Isn't how the chemical reaction works?
Well, I mean, when you eat pot brownies, you get a reaction because you know the
butter has been it has to have been heated though to extract into the butter.
Yeah. So the burger was, I presume, heated, I guess.
But you'd have to cook it in with, like, the grease, is what I'm saying, to pull the THC out of it. At this point, this is somebody wasting plant material on a burger.
Wow. Sam Steele knows a lot about the ingredients and process and recipe.
I was going to say,
No, I don't.
Have you ever worked for McDonald's, Sam?
I was employee of the month at Wendy's back in 96.
And then they all went downhill after Sam quit. Well, you know, I'm not sure, but, you know, the woman now, she's saying, well, hey, I'm pregnant and I'm worried about whatever possible effects this may have on my unborn child. But, you know, I don't know how realistic that concern is. And as a matter of fact, before we go to our break, here's another story from Springfield, Massachusetts. A guy there just blew right through a stop sign, and when an officer pulled him over during the Click It or Ticket campaign, the officer said when the guy rolled down the window, a plume of smoke came out, and the officer said, "Are you smoking marijuana while operating this motor vehicle?" And the driver said, "Why, yes, I am, officer." And that was it. Simple enough, a good, honest pot smoker. See, you got to respect a guy like that. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to share a story with you about a guy in England who was arrested for impersonating a police officer. However, there is a twist to this story, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not you think his arrest was warranted. Because, you know, sometimes that can be a scary thing, you know, somebody impersonating a police officer. In this case, maybe not so much. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina, and I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And, you know, before I get back to the news stories, I just want to keep all of you updated on some of the strange activity that's been happening here in the Bermuda Triangle, because I am here out in the middle of the ocean, on the island of Puerto Rico, in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. And producer Sam Still is in Asheville at the station, and so is Shelley Wright. So I'm down here collecting stories, doing research at the Bermuda Triangle Research Base. And as a matter of fact, I have some night vision goggles down here, third generation night vision. And I have a brand new imaging setup that I'm going to be using that should give me the absolute highest quality night views you could ever want of the sky here. So hopefully I'll have some pretty amazing footage soon. And you can imagine how excited I am when I get calls from people who have had major encounters. Now, I've documented a ton of activity down here In fact, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, not only will you find a live chat during the show and more information on topics discussed, but there's a link to my website, joshuapwarren.com, and you can see some of the UFOs and USOs that have been videotaped and photographed down here that I have posted exclusively on my website. Okay, nobody else has this stuff. And if you are in the Asheville area, you'll also find a link there to hauntedasheville.com. And, of course, that's the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour website. You can also visit the Mystery Museum, all that kind of good stuff. But point being, just a few nights ago, I got a call from a friend of mine who lives in the town of Aguadilla. Now, if you're not familiar with Puerto Rico, this place is shaped like a rectangle, horizontally positioned on the earth. And my base is in the southwest corner at a point called Boquerón. And Miss Shelley Wright has been here before. Occasionally we have expeditions. And when you go all the way up the coast north of here to the northwest corner, there's a town called Aguadilla. Now, there have been a lot of sightings recently in that area. And my friend called me, and he left a message and said, I just wanted to know if you've heard anything about all these ships that were seen here in the sky last night. And I hadn't heard anything about this. So I called him back, of course, and he told me that at 10:30 that night, his friend was leaving, and my friend, maybe I shouldn't use his name without his permission. We'll call him Bob, okay? That's not his real name. So Bob says that his buddy had come over to visit, and Bob lives at the end of a long driveway. And so Bob went out there to sort of help his friend do a three-point turn so that he could safely leave the driveway. So Bob goes outside. He looks up at the sky, and he saw a big, bright red light. And he said his first instinct was, wow, Mars is bright as hell tonight. And so his friend starts making the turn, and that's when Bob looks up, and he sees a second red light that's moving across the sky toward the first one. Well, at that point, Bob is still thinking something totally logical is going on, and he is rationalizing this as seeing maybe an airplane or a helicopter or something that's flying through the sky that just happens to be heading toward Mars, even though, of course, he doesn't hear any sound. And he said that second red light stops in the sky next to the first red light. So he's looking there just kind of scratching his head at this bizarre scene, and then all of a sudden, here comes a third light from the other side, and then a fourth light. And he sees, at this point, there are four red lights in formation hovering over his house. At this point, Bob freaks out. He turns and hightails it back into his house, grabs his iPhone, and runs out and starts snapping photographs. He shot seven images before these things disappeared. And he was, just brimming with excitement. He sent these images to me for analysis. And sure enough, you can see four red lights very clearly in the sky over his house. So right now I'm analyzing these images. Mr. Mobius is analyzing these images. And I think once we have an analysis, we'll get those things also posted for you at speakingofstrange.com. But now, can you imagine, Investigator Shelley Wright, what I might be able to capture if I go to his house where this type of thing is occurring all over Aguadilla and record the sky through the third generation night vision goggles?
That would be so cool. Do it. Yeah. When are you going over there?
Any day now, I should have the adapter that I it's been a bit of a pain to get the adapter for the imaging system, and I've tried other systems that didn't work out so well, but I should be ready to do it hopefully next week, and so maybe I'll have something incredible to share with everybody on next week's show. And by the way, We should not have any ball game preemptions or anything like that until the fall. So it's our plan to have a brand new Speaking of Strange for all of you every single Saturday night from here until the fall when the ball season starts back up again. All right. That said, let's jump back here into some news stories. I mentioned before the break that there is a story from the UK that has gained some controversy and attention. A man in the UK, he was in Manchester. He attended some type of a protest there. It was an anti-fracking protest. And he came to the protest with a Fisher-Price toy police helmet on his head, and he was arrested for impersonating a police officer. But that's not all he was wearing. He was also wearing a pig mask, a big, obvious Halloween-type pig mask. So clearly the guy was trying to make a point that he felt that the police officers were pigs, okay? He's wearing a pig mask with a little toy police hat on, and they came out and they cuffed him and stuffed him and arrested him for impersonating a police officer.
this is in the UK, you said?
Yeah, this is Manchester in the UK. They confiscated his pig mask and his Fisher-Price police helmet.
Bobby helmet.
Yeah. And he says, well, this is ridiculous. He says if they want to take it to court, they'll be a laughing stock. And he kind of also feels that if, you know, what basically they're proving their own point, right? They're proving his point. Because if they arrest him for impersonating a police officer when he's dressed like a pig, maybe they're kind of implying that they are pigs, right? That's his point of view. So, seems a little silly to me, but they really do like to protest and get up in arms.
More CCTV cameras than anywhere else in the world in the UK, am I correct?
That's my understanding. And yet, I also have heard that people in the UK they don't mind that. They're not, you know, offended by it. However, here in the US, I mean, when cameras pop up, you got rednecks running around shooting them out of the poles and bashing them with baseball bats. So I kind of think it's going to be a little bit harder for the cameras to catch on in middle America compared to the UK.
The UK is such a nanny state, though. I mean, you can't even wear a hoodie. You're not allowed to wear a sweatshirt with a hood. A hoodie.
You know, actually, I recently read something about a guy who got in trouble because he was a member of the Jedi religion. and of course, he was dressed like Obi-Wan, and he went into a gas station, and he had his hood on, and he got arrested for that very reason. So you're right, Sam. And, of course, when they questioned the authorities basically said, well, hey, only the bad Jedis wore the hood.
Oh, where's the sound effect? I need the sound effect. Shall we ring the bell?
Yeah.
But that's not even entirely true, because if I'm not mistaken, Luke Skywalker wore the hood when he went into Jabba the Hutt's domain. If I'm wrong about that, I'll get a million messages from fans.
It's some serious fanboy action coming your way.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, a story from Cary, North Carolina. And what can I tell you? The story includes the words snot and booger. Oh, this is a high-class tale. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. welcome back to the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, well, we're going to have kind of a free-flowing discussion about some of my favorite subjects, some of the weirdest things, some of the most difficult things to put into words, mind machines. And, you know, it starts with some of the simplest tools, magic and voodoo type stuff. And then from there, we're going to get a little more technical as we go through the ages. Talk about radionics, psychotronics, psionics, orgone, and maybe we'll even have enough time to dig some into the law of attraction and how that sort of connects the mind-body-environment relationship together. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. If you have not been to the website, go to WrightsCoinShop.com. That's W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com. You'll find a map and hours and even a photograph of Shelley Wright. And I think that's probably 90% of the reason that people go to WrightsCoinShop.com.
And Buffalo Nichols. Buffalo Nichols.
Buffalo Nichols, a close second. All right, we have here a story from Cary, North Carolina. Maybe it says something about me, but every time I see Cary, North Carolina, it reminds me of pornography. And I'm pretty sure that that was the headquarters, maybe still is, for Adam and Eve.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, which is kind of ironic. You don't think of North Carolina being a big porn state, but, you know, they have a stake somewhere in there. It says here in Cary, it will take more than tissues for police in this town to take care of the weird offending graffiti being spray painted on businesses and signs all over the city every night. Investigators say the words snot and booger have been painted on multiple places repeatedly this year in Cary. Police say they don't think it's gang-related. that'd be a grimy gang, wouldn't it? And it hasn't caused any permanent damage, but the captain there says removing the graffiti is costly and the problem cannot be overlooked as it just keeps on happening. So they're asking people to call Crime Stoppers if they have any tips. And here is an interesting story that some of you might be able to relate to. A man in Wisconsin has filed a restraining order against a five-year-old. That's right, a five-year-old boy. He says this little boy has been bullying his daughter. The dad, whose daughter attends kindergarten at the elementary school in Pleasant Prairie, said the kid's been harassing his daughter the whole year. And at first I'm thinking, like, what's he trying to do, like come kiss her or something? And it turns out the girl claims the five-year-old is coming up to her and saying, quote, "I want to slit your throat and watch you bleed to death."
Holy crap!
Reminiscent of another famous Wisconsinian, Ed Gein.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. A little Omen Ed Gein reincarnation.
Well, it's kind of serious, though. I mean, five-year-olds should not be spouting that type of rhetoric.
They shouldn't.
Yeah, and he also is telling her that he wants to sacrifice her to the devil.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, where is this kid getting this stuff?
So the dad said he filed the police report and a restraining order after the boy kicked his girl in the face and threw rocks and sand at her. So it sounds like a really nasty little kid, doesn't it?
Sounds warranted.
Yeah. So he claims the school was not doing enough to help his daughter.
They never do.
He says, quote, "They've kept him in the same classroom with my daughter throughout the whole ordeal till I showed up with the restraining order," end quote. And he says that, you know, some people have criticized him for his decision, but he says, quote, "If they knew the facts, that they would know that The boys' parents have been contacted by the school, and it's done no good. So, you know, that's pretty disturbing. But it does seem like the kids are growing up faster nowadays, which I think is probably in part because of the internet and exposing them to mature content at an earlier age. And so kids that are going to turn out to be, you know, serial killer types, for example, maybe you would start seeing those characteristics much more early than or earlier than we are used to. So kind of creepy. Definitely sounds like a little omen kid. There, here's another quick story before we go to break. From California, an elementary school teacher there was caught on tape attacking some skateboarders. Apparently, he was walking by a skateboard park, and suddenly he turns and grabs a skateboarder, throws him off the skateboard, picks up the skateboard, tosses it over a hedge. He got arrested. This whole thing was caught on video. And they asked the guy, why did you do this? And he said, God told me to do it. He says, I was compelled by a higher power.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So, connection, perhaps.
God does not like folks. Skateboarders?
Not in California. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for hour number two, and we're going to dig into mind machines. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and speaking of strange, we'll be back right after these very important messages.